receive answers back. No falling asleep. I know it's Wednesday. You had a full day of school. Stay with me.
Come on.
So my first question is, what brings you joy? Anybody? Anything brings you joy? Movies? Ice cream, right? Favorite flavor? Chocolate? Mint chocolate chip? Which brand? Any brand?
Come on, geese. Well,
you good?
I want joy too.
Brands. Nice.
Turkey Hill, Rocky Road.
Oh, yes!
Right. Yeah, okay.
My mom.
Your mom.
Wait, what?
My
Disney.
Mom.
Disney?
Yes.
All Disney?
Yes.
Oh, anything
sweet.
Disney?
Anything Disney. Like
Minnie Mouse preferred.
Minnie Mouse, okay. Sweet.
Stop.
Your baby brother brings you joy.
So
nice.
Love you.
Yes. Sky.
Oh, I like music.
Music brings you joy. We can see it when you sing.
Okay.
All right. So I'm asking that because I want to look at James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Whoever gets there, raise your hand. Let me know if you can read that for me, please. Mom?
It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because we know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let the perseverance finish this work so that you may get mature and complete and not lacking anything.
Awesome. So you know the way that you feel about that mint ice cream? Rocky Road, Turkey Hill, your baby brother, music. That's how we're supposed to feel about trials. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. And I find that challenging. But let's look about why. It's because a trial is a test of your faith. Have you ever felt like you're undergoing a trial? Anybody
yeah.
here? Like you're undergoing like a really hard time, right? And in that hard time, you're like, what do you think? Why? You're like, why am I going through this? And I can spend a lot of time on the why. And I find that when I do that, I also get into that sort of bitter side, right? You're like, God, why are you letting it go like this?
Yep.
Like I know how it should go better, right?
Yeah.
Like, it should go the way I want it to go. There were a few times when I was really struggling with this, and I particularly remember a time I was going through a really hard time, and I felt like I couldn't understand why I was going through such a hard time. So I started reading James, this passage of James, and I read it probably every day for like the first months. I read other things as well, but I kept reading this passage. And it finally dawned on me that I needed to shift the way I was looking at these trials. Because either I'm right, or the Bible is right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Either I'm right in looking at this trial of God, what are you doing, or God's right, and I need to consider this pure joy. And the reason why I get to consider it pure joy is because it is developing my faith. It's testing my faith and allowing me to persevere and to learn what perseverance is. What I wanted to look at also is, what is perseverance? Does anybody have an idea of what perseverance is? Carla. Right, pushing through, going past what you think you can do.
No matter how hard circumstances are, you're still pushing.
Yeah. No, that's right, because it's like no matter how hard it is. Yeah, Rosa.
I was gonna say patient endurance.
Patient endurance. There's a lot of people like that, right?
Something like that, right there.
Right here. Iman. Never giving
up.
Never giving up. Nice. Somebody up here?
I was going to say the ability to withstand, to endure.
Mm-hmm. The ability to withstand and endure. Some definitions. Steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. A continuance in a state of grace to the end, leading to eternal salvation. The Holman Bible Dictionary says, maintaining Christian faith through the trying times of life. So what comes from perseverance? What happens when we persevere? Any hands? It was in one of the scriptures we read. Yeah, exactly. Spiritual maturity. We become mature and complete, not lacking anything. What does maturity look like?
I guess maturity is like learning from like your experiences and being able to apply them in your life now.
Mm-hmm. And being able to act appropriately in different situations.
Anybody else? What does maturity look like? One thing is managing fear appropriately, like Jacob did in Genesis 32 when he wrestled with God, right? So he had fear. We all have fear. But how did he manage that fear? You can jot down Genesis 32 to take a look at that. Maturity is also not giving up on yourself or God when trials come, like in James chapter 1. Managing those things that trigger you so that when you are triggered, you learn how to respond in a godly way, right? You would think when I'm 52 years old and a disciple for almost 28 years that I'm like, I don't get triggered. Wrong. Okay? I get triggered just like everybody else. I get, like, desire to escape. Binge watch things. Just because I don't want to deal, right? But learning how to manage that. Learning how to say, you know what, God, that's what I'm tempted to do, but this is the time I need to pray. That's what I'm tempted to do, but I need to reach out to a friend. So also learning not to rely on yourself or your results or your ability to get things done. Can somebody turn to Galatians chapter 3 and read verses 1 to 5?
You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard?
Awesome. So what does that passage tell us? It tells us that we didn't get to where we are because of our great works. It's not our effort. It's not even the results. Instead, it's because we believed what we heard. We believed the good news. Bear with me. I made the mistake of writing in pencil and I can hardly see my notes. So I have some practicals about ways to mature, but one of the things I really wanted to say is of listening to everybody and also thinking about how I approach things, I think I can really get caught up in the results, right? Like, if I'm close to God, then I'm going to have all these people out at Bible Talk with me. If I'm close to the brothers of Someplace Else, this is all sisters. Love you guys.
No problem.
But I can really struggle with thinking, now that I'm a disciple, now that I have this close relationship with God, I should do even better, right? I should be amazing at studying the Bible. I should have all these friends out to everything that I go to. And that passage says, like, you started with God. You were very clear at the beginning that all of this was your relationship with God. You had to rely on God for everything. Mm-hmm. And now you think it's your effort? He's like, wait a minute, you've gone wrong here. And that, I'm sharing that because these are things that we can get off track in our thinking and that can get in the way of us maturing spiritually.
Great.
Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going into some practicals now, ways to mature. Excuse me, and then Carlo is going to share. Chapter 4, verse 15, it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So the first practical is to have a few friends with whom you can be truthful, both about what you think and feel, and also be a friend to them that they can tell the truth to, they can tell the truth about what they're thinking and what they're feeling and also what they see in you. And if you're lucky, you can maintain this friendship over time, and then you can help each other see how much you've grown. I have a friend who's a prayer partner. We've been praying together 3 times a week on average for the past 10 years. She knows me, and she knows where I fall short. She knows where I'm likely to criticize myself, and she's able to say, girl, do you remember 5 years ago when we were praying about that and where you were, and look at where you are now? So those are the kinds of friendships that you want to develop. You want somebody to really know you. I'm not going to suggest that you have that kind of close relationship with everybody in here, because it's not practical, and I don't think it's really possible or healthy. But you do want to find a couple of close friends that you can start praying with and who you can feel like you can share your heart with. Another practical is in Colossians 1:28. It says, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect. You can read mature instead of perfect there in Christ. Guess what? Teaching others about God helps you mature. It's so amazing. As you start to share what you know about God, you're like, that's right. You know, you have this sort of like moment where you're realizing there is so much, but that helps you mature as well. Base your relationships on Christ and teach others about him. You'll grow in the process. Lastly, let's look at Luke chapter 8, verse 14. What's interesting about this passage is it has a warning on what stops you from growing, and then it also helps you to understand how to grow. It says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. So what would choke us out? What would stop us from maturing?
Life's worries.
Life's worries, riches, and pleasures.
Yeah.
Those are actually opportunities, right? When you have worries, riches, even pleasures, those are opportunities to turn to God. It goes on to say, but the seed on good soil stands for those who, with a noble and good heart, hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So there's persevering again, right? That idea that you have to keep going when you confront these obstacles. Something that happened to me when I was going through, actually when I'm going through a hard time, do you guys know, have you ever seen those pictures of like a helicopter and then there's that rope hanging down from the helicopter and there's like a rope ladder and usually they come by and they're trying to get the people off the roof and, you know, save people that way? You guys know the image, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So during some of my really hard times, I imagined myself on the end of a rope from the helicopter, and I'm holding on to that rope for dear life, and that rope is my relationship with God, and everything that's coming by is trying to get me to let go of the rope, right? These are what these trials are. It's like, okay, you're going to give up on God now? What about now? Okay, how about if I make this harder? Are you going to let go? And that's when I have to decide to persevere. I'm not letting go. If it's this hard with God, if it's this hard holding on to God, why would I let go? Right? Wow. That's what a trial is. It's a test. It's a test. And what I love about tests, this is sort of a family secret, I really like tests because tests test your ability to take a test. That's what they do. They test, like, are you going to give up? Are you going to figure out what it's going to take to make it through this test? And when I understand this is a test of my faith, then I know how I have to show up. Then I know I have to show up to God and I say, God, look, this Satan's trying to take me out right here, and I know you don't want that, so I need your help. I need you to come through. I need you to help me figure out what do I have to do to hold on. How do I have to hold on tighter? Do I feel my grip slipping? Then I'm going to reach out to somebody else. There were times when I felt like other people's faith was holding me up because I didn't have enough faith on my own. I knew I had to get to them because they would help me through what I was going through.
Right.
Do you want to mature?
Absolutely.
Do you kind of want to mature, or do you really want to mature? Do you see a need to mature? If you look at a plant, let's imagine a tree, okay? When they first start out with a tree, they put it in a nursery, right? Why don't they just stick it right in the ground? Anybody? It's not gonna last. A lot of times, if you go to like a what are they, nurseries? They don't just stick the tree in the ground. If you really want your tree to mature, you put it like in a hothouse. You put it in a garden, in a protected area, right? Because it has to mature enough so that when you plant it, it's able to grow, right? So if you really want to mature, if you want to grow, you've got to learn how to put your roots down deep. You've got to learn what relationships do I need to develop for these people to know me. And it's not that you're going to make it hard for this person, like, okay, come find me if I'm struggling. It's not that. But when you do have that close relationship, that person will come find you when you're struggling. And it's not because you told them to, it's because they love you and they know you. You know, they can look at you and be like, we're going to talk, right? That's how it goes. So, but really striving to make sure that you're growing. So don't let life's worries, riches, or pleasures choke you out. Stay focused on God, staying close to Jesus. Persevere, because quitting is not an option. To God be the glory.
No. She got a bag. Okay. All right. Okay. I want to know what's in the bag.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. So, good evening. You all don't know me. I'm Carla Ruiz, and Alice and I work together here with campus. I see a lot of faces that I know and a couple that I don't, but I'm going to need everybody to pay attention because I got stuff that I'm going to need to do. I was actually talking about spiritual maturity, and I think that's a good thing because not because I'm mature, because I'm not dead yet, I'm not finished yet, I'm not done, but I have a lot of relationships with you all. I have separate relationships with most of you, and we're building those that, you know, we don't. I know a lot about a lot of you. What is spiritual maturity? When I thought about it, if you had asked me a few years ago, mature means old. So that was my first thought. When I looked it up, did you all get a text that said you need to bring like a baby picture or a picture?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go with us, all right? So being mature. It says it encompasses being aware of the correct time and place to behave and knowing when to act according to the circumstances of the culture of the society. Think about that in context of you being a disciple, because I'm talking to disciples and people who hang out with disciples, right? Maturity emphasizes the clear comprehension of life's purpose, your purpose as a disciple, right? The directedness, the intentionality, which contributes to the feeling that your life is meaningful. So as a disciple, you didn't just get baptized and like, look, you read the Bible, you studied it, somebody taught it to you, God opened your eyes, and you decided that there was a purpose. If you were raised up in the church, maybe your mom, like I did my kids, just raised them up and they kind of knew it, but at some point, those that became disciples, they had to decide to do it on their own. And
right.
It's not on my faith. They do things based on what God and they are building together. That's a maturity, because they had to separate what was my faith and what is their faith in God. So as disciples here, and I look around and I think about, you all are disciples. Now you can look at that picture. Do you have baby pictures or do you have baptism pictures? Everybody has a baptism picture? Everybody, well, put up your, you got baby pictures mostly?
Yeah.
Take a look at that picture. Take a good look at yourself, and I don't have one to show you with mine. There was a fire, so all my stuff is burned up. Find one. I think there's one when I was like six. But anyway, if you look at that picture, everybody's looking at your picture?
Yeah.
If that person right now had to come sit up here right now and talk about life, how much could you talk? Could you even sit up in that picture?
I had something to say, but I don't know what I'd be saying.
In that picture, do you look like you knew how to feed yourself or pick the right meal?
No.
So the point is clear, right? There comes a time, you've seen the Terminator movies, everybody, anybody? So you see how Arnold Schwarzenegger disappears out of nowhere? We didn't come like that. We were like incubated for the 9 months. Or if you bought your baptism picture, you were cultivated through the studies and then you were born again.
Yeah.
But somehow, some way, you were born and then you had to be nurtured.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go to the baptism part. You became a disciple, you were born, you're a baby Christian. And what did that entail? The point is, spiritual maturity does not come naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you got baptized does not mean you know anything. And I know that you know that because when you were studying the Bible, it was pretty exciting. It was like, wow, I didn't know that. And then you became a disciple. And then we taught you, we meaning the older people around you, whoever was there ahead of you. Lloyd, let me take you back to your picture. Because you're looking at your eyes and you're remembering who you were at that moment. And just think about, if that's your baby picture, did you have like hope? Like, you didn't really care about nothing, you were a baby.
Right.
You were just innocent and pure.
So happy.
And pretty much that's how you are when you became the disciple here. For me, when I watched you all go down in the water, when you came out, I was like, okay, this is gonna be good, because
now you're young women with your baby Christians, and I enjoy watching the walk that you all take. I enjoy getting to know you and watching you grow. I can speak to quite a few of you, Jessica and Brittany, Marie, Sue, Rosa, Mimi's not here, Eden, Desiree, let me see, Shauna, Sky, Simone. Wow, there's a lot. Kennedy, I'm still getting to know you. I'm getting to know most of you. Amber, we've had these great relationships. Lisa, we've had these great talks. Maria. We've had these great... Patricia, right? Yeah. We've had great conversations where I... Patricia. Where I know things about you, and I... Yes, you're smiling at me, Elna. And I know things about you, but here's the thing, and I'm not going to pull all your secrets out, Iman. I can just say, I can graph on a timeline when I met you and where you are. I see growth in all these relationships. And I can tell you, certain, not one or two areas, I can tell you a lot of areas where I've watched you grow. What I'm really proud of you. So talking about it tonight, I want to encourage you. When you first became a disciple, you learned the lifestyle. You learned the quiet times, you learned about discipling partners, you learned about discipling time, you learned how to pray, you looked at your character, things got a little shaky. You learned how to be taught. You know, in Matthew 28, it says, you know, go make disciples, teaching them to obey everything. My point is that it's not an instant. It's a process. I am still learning things that I thought I learned 10 years ago. God just keeps opening up something else, and then I'm like, whoa, I didn't see it that way. And then I get super excited because God, the God of the universe, is teaching me for his own purpose. Whatever effectiveness, whatever it is I do or don't do, God deems me effective and useful in his eye. And I want to encourage you with that this spiritual maturity that you want to get is coming, and it has come. You're not babies. When I first became a disciple, somebody forgot to teach me about quiet times. So I didn't even know about them. I was in the kingdom, going to church. I know, right?
Just like, that was God.
And when I heard about it, I was like, wait, what's that? What are you talking about? And I might have been a disciple over a year before we got around to, what's quiet time? And then when they told me, well, now I'm a one-year-old disciple who's a little wild and rebellious because I think I know from listening to church and doing whatever it is I do. So sitting down trying to read the Bible every morning, and I had a lot of kids, maybe that's why they forgot to teach me. That was my thinking. Oh, well, you know, God kept me going for a whole year. And amen.
You're here now. You're here.
Jeez. But after I found out about it and realized that was a good discipline to have because I wasn't having it, then I tried to have it and I didn't like it, so I went back to how I was doing it. It's a back and forth, it's a process. And I learned the benefit of not, and I said, it's not reading your Bible every day. That sounds like a job.
Right.
I learned the benefit of going to God every day to read my Bible. First thing, if I could do it, mostly all the time for maybe 5 or 6 years, it was on the bus and the train going back and forth. But I developed a way because I'm a mom with a lot of kids. I know how to turn off my ears. I don't hear everything. I can hear what I want. So on the train and the bus, I could just focus on what was going on with me and God. And even though I didn't always know what I was going to read, I just know I needed that time with God. And I want to encourage you all with that. That's a maturity. Because now I'm 25 years a disciple. It's not me and God. We're at a point now where we talk every day, all day. I read my Bible more than once a day. I can reference things in the Bible. I enjoy what God has done. When I don't read my Bible, like there are times when I haven't gotten to the Bible and I'm thinking I gotta get to the Bible, I feel hurt. Mm-hmm. I feel like something is missing in it. It's almost like if you ate a meal and you're still hungry, like you know your food, you're eating your food and somebody comes and says you have to go and you're not finished eating. And you know you're not full, you just grab that last piece of chicken or whatever, but you left the rice, and the mac and cheese, all of that.
You can't leave that.
The chicken stays.
I'm missing
Let's go.
Right, right. Come on, Carla.
If you look at 1 Peter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Somebody is gonna get there before me. Oh, you guys use your things.
No, fam, we flipping. We flipping.
But I'm still.
We flipping. First, I'm there.
Two.
Somebody's there. So somebody can read it for me, please. Loud.
First Peter 2, 2.
Come on.
Like newborn babes, you crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that, the Lord is good.
Yeah. So it's a process to grow in it, but you want to pay attention to that craving that you may or may not have. If you don't have it, then you're still like, you're just sitting around waiting to be, you know, give me a scripture, I'm working on my anger. You know, I'm not making fun of nobody. I'm just saying, if you're at the beginning of coming out the water, but you've been around for maybe a year or two,
jeez,
you want to look and see, do a spiritual checkup. Am I craving to know God better?
Hmm.
Now, I'm going to talk to y'all like I talk to my own kids, okay?
Come on, guys.
I said to my kids, we used to do demos every night, and I would say, so what do you think we all need to be working on as a family? And they never answered me that way. So then I would say, I think we need to talk more about being engaging. And they still would just kind of stare at me. And then I'd pull out a scripture, and we'd look at the scripture, and then there was dialogue. And then I challenged them and asked them, because we did this like their whole lives. Then I'd get back communication. They'd start sharing their thoughts and their feelings, and we have the Bible all the time. I want to encourage you all to not just stick with, you know, everybody has a Bible, right? I hope, or maybe a hard copy. Maybe there's a study Bible that has a concordance in the back. How do you find the subjects that you're looking for when you think you're trying to grow in an area? Well, how do you go about growing in the Word? Somebody help me out. What's some of the techniques that y'all do when you're doing your quiet time or you're growing? Eating. What are some of the things that you do when you want to work on something?
Well, the fastest thing
you
do is go
to
Google.
You Google? So what do you do? So let's give me an example. If you were working on anger, so what would you do? That's a good answer, Evie, because you and I have spent a lot of time. So, is there another method that somebody else uses? What else do people do to grow? Yes, Sydney.
Sometimes we'll ask someone, especially if I know that they were trying to work on that, and what
could
you read
that helped you with this? Okay. Anybody else want to give me Alex?
Kind of like what Eden said, but then like using the different versions, because then it gives you like a different viewpoint on like the same idea.
Okay.
But it like makes you think differently.
Okay, so
if it's something dire, I start fasting over whatever it is.
Excellent.
Come on.
So what I'm hearing is you all are in your words, right? And you have different ways of trying to figure out what God wants for you. But are you sharing that amongst one another?
Hmm.
Like when we finish here tonight, are you guys like having those kind of conversations about the things you may have found or what you know is working for you?
Hmm.
Because if you're not, That's something I want to encourage you with, because it's necessary, because we're all here together.
Right.
And I can stand and tell you right now that there's at least 10 people in this room that I know that can help you all out, that you all can help each other out with, because you have different areas of strength. There's more than 10. I just threw out 10. You have different areas of strength. Some of you are very nurturing. Some of you are very intellectual. Some of you are you have experience and you've married it with the Bible and you've been able to persevere and work through some things. Some of you are very attentive, you're very good listeners. Some of you are really good at organizing things. Some of you are really good about bringing people in. These are strengths that a family, like we are, we have to use that, because, I mean, Allison and I, and Chelsea, and Sean, we're all here, but we don't have all those strengths all in one of us. We all are here for different things. Allison and I were talking how we're going to even do this tonight. You know, we had to pray about it, and then we just had to let God do what God does. If you look at Galatians 3, verse 3, is it 3 verse 3? I think it is.
Come on, Miss Allison.
Because it's why do you want to mature? And this is one of the main reasons why. Mm-hmm. I should go there, right? You did didn't become a disciple by your own thinking.
Mm.
You did not decide that you were going to become a Christian on the day that you became a Christian.
Right.
God had it all ordained and he let you participate in it, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're reading your Bible, a practical is to really remember that. You're not in control of this discipleship. You're in it and you're just sitting around in it, but you really want to be a part of it because we've been reading that on Sundays. You want to participate with his divine power. So when you go to his word, let me be very careful. It's not instead of flipping around just looking for a word. Remember who you're going. This is the God of the universe, right?
Right. Mm.
This is the living and active Bible. Might be a little beat up, but God did this. This is our journey, right? Your Bible, your phone is nice, but don't just like Google the word. Take it much more deeper and remember it's God. Mm. So this is James 1:2. When you approach God, you don't just come and open your Bible, pray, and ask for wisdom and discernment.
Okay.
And when you get to, who has Galatians 3:3? Alvin, no. Thank you. Yep. Loud. Thank you. If you heard that, if you didn't read it, but you can't do it by yourself. You need to talk to God, and you need to remember that it is God, and in that you will mature. You can't read it like a book. And there's books that we've read, and then there's the Bible. And if you want to change and grow, I hope that that's your goal, is to change and grow, because that's what's expected. That's why you became a disciple with God's purpose. I'm going to give you 10 reasons to read your Bible. The very first one, and I'm going to give you a scripture. I'm going to go fast, and I'm going to implore. In fact, I'm not just going to implore that you look at the scriptures. I'm going to ask you next week when I see you, which one of those scriptures did you read? What did you get out of it? It's going to be a week later, and I'm going to walk up to anybody, and I really want to know which one you read and how did it help you this week going. But one of them is that you're going to grow spiritual. And that's in 2 Peter 3:18. Okay? The other one is it'll help you settle any issues about being saved and what salvation is. Because sometimes, people have those questions. I've had those questions because I'm not a perfect person. And I Satan will get in it. And I need to know. Especially when I'm talking to other people about who I am. It is to be encouraged. That's in Romans 15:4. Every time I read the Bible, I'm really glad I read the Bible. Because God just talks to me. And he says something nice. He'll say something that cuts me. And sometimes he says something I don't understand at first. But after I keep thinking about it, he helps clear it up. You read your Bible for personal guidance. That's in Psalm 119, verse 105. You read it to defend yourself against the devil. That's Ephesians 6. It says, verse 11, but I'll just say that whole chapter because I like it. It says to teach the truth to the next generation. That's what I'm standing here doing, and I'm not qualified except to talk through the word and ask God to help me to be able to share with you. All my years of experience means nothing except that God has been with me, God has helped me, God will continue to help me, and I'm here to encourage you that you're going to be standing up here doing this. Do you see some of the older women in the church, the ones that are walking with their canes, and they sit in the back, some of them are in wheelchairs? If God spares my life, maybe that'll be me. And I will not be standing over here talking and hanging out and doing stuff. I'll just be like where I'm supposed to be, and you guys will be up doing things. And so the expectation is you're going to grow so you can help somebody. That's why you want to grow, right? That's why you want to read your Bible. You want to be able to counsel others. And that should be happening here on the midweeks before and after when y'all are talking and having a great fellowship and even after church. It doesn't mean you only do it to counsel, but you want to make sure you're getting that in your fellowship. You're growing spiritually. I've had people visit over here. When I talk to them and ask them, how was it? One time I heard somebody say to me, the conversation was more spiritual. And the person was looking at, well, what did you read last week? They were, that's how we present ourselves as Christians that really love the word. So I think that was their expectation. It's not a mark on you. It's just consciousness to grow and be ready to help and have these conversations that are real. It's not two separate lives and two ways of thinking.
Right.
It's, you gotta be ready to speak the truth. Again, that's in 1 Peter 3:15. And you want to read your Bible to verify the teaching of others if it's true. When I'm standing up here talking to you about giving you these scriptures, you need to be reading them. Suppose I was trying to start something on my own, or I had this big ego, or, you know, you don't know. Read the Bible for yourself to know, and you know that's in Acts 17:11. And then most importantly, you want to present yourself approved to God. You want God to look at you and go, well done, good and faithful servant. That's in 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, really quick, how can you tell if you're growing? Well, when was the last time you did a spiritual check? A check on yourself? Is there an area that you know that you're working on?
That's
yeah,
seven.
You, Jessica. Well, what about you, Hannah? Is there an area that you know you're working on?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, y'all don't have to tell me if you don't want to. If you do, that's great. I can pray about it. Do you have an area you're working on? Alex? You just got Nicole.
You just got baptized.
I was like, you just got baptized. But there's a lot to be working on, right? You mind?
Yeah.
Desiree? You want some? Everybody's working on something, Nicole? Rosalyn? Nicole? Okay. So when you do your spiritual checkup, that's how you know if you're growing. You have to care. Are you the same person you were when you came out the water, or the same person you were last week or the week before? And if you are, that's okay, because it might take a little longer. It's a process. But as long as you're being diligent, like Allison shared, and persevere, then you're going to have growth. I love the visual that you gave about the tree. I thought I had one in here, but that was great. In Galatians 1, verses 11 to 24, it just talks about why you want to grow. In Titus 2, and this was good because this is what we're doing now. In Titus 2, it talks about spiritual training, like how the women teach women. There's something in the Bible on how to be a good young woman, how to be a good old woman, how to be a good wife. There's lots of women in the Bible that we can read about and emulate. These are the things that help us to grow. There's no way that you could be coming back and forth just going to church and showing up at midweek. If you're going to college, that means you're studying and you've advanced 1 year to the next. You've grown in your collegiate career. You need to be growing exactly or more in your spiritual world.
Yeah.
You need to be looking at it like it's a blessing and a privilege that you're a disciple.
Right.
God has a plan for you in addition to the things you think you want to do. But you will not know any of it if you're not reading this Bible, not as a task, but as, you know, you're feeding yourself. You want to grow. And when I talk to you, I'm encouraged because I hear. And when you're not giving it to me right away, I still can pull it out and hear. So I'm super encouraged because I know God is here. This is not about y'all. This is about allowing God to do what God is doing. For those who might feel like they're not spiritually strong or whatever, just hang in there, read your Bible, talk to people. Be very open about what you're thinking and feeling, and allow one another to help. If one another isn't helping, come and talk to Allison. Come and talk to me. Come and talk. Get some help. Don't just stay by yourself. You can't say one thing that we haven't heard or experienced. We're not even in a seat of judgment. A lot of times when I hear you, I'm like, wow, I can share something that I went through. And if I went through it to be able to share it with you, then I'm super grateful because now I can share it with you.
Yeah.
Another way to tell if you're growing is, are you giving?
Yeah.
Because sometimes discipling time becomes a therapy time. Mm-hmm. And that's not really fair if you're not thinking and being wise about time. You want to talk about what you're going through, but you also want to figure out how can you give to the person that's discipling you and to the people around you. You have your Bible all the time. You have a discipling person in front of you maybe for an hour. And you should not take that hour to do what you could have did all week while you was talking to God. You should come to the discipling time to like, I read this, I don't understand this, or I'm trying to work this into how I'm dealing with my anger. That's an encouragement. Again, I was a rogue. 1 year old disciple didn't know how to do a lot of things, so it's not a judgment. But looking back, I can just tell you now, to make the best use of your time and to grow like God would have you grow, that's the best way to do that. Take your Bible, read your Bible, marry it to your problems, bring it to that person to help you, not to sit and be your, I'm not going to say therapist, because it's not a therapist, because we're not even equipped like that. But give somebody the opportunity to help you. And if you dump everything at one time without, what it shows is a lack of maturity. a lack of care and concern, because you're just going to suck it all up. And now it's way too much to figure out. But it's not that you shouldn't or you can't. You can, because those things happen. But if you give it some thought, you know, that's maturity. Pray about it and ask God to help you to mature in that area.
Yeah.
All right. In 1 Corinthians, this is a practical time to mature. 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27, it talks about this walk that we're on, it requires strict training. And you all know about training because you're in school. And it's not easy. I mean, some of you got schedules that I would not want. It says to prepare. You need to prepare, and I said that. Pray for wisdom and discernment. And read James 1:4-5. It says God will give you way more wisdom, and he doesn't even pass judgment. You can, whatever you think of yourself, God will not co-sign that. He'll give you the wisdom to understand whatever it is you put before. But it takes more than, oh God, help me not yell at my mom, or help me to deal with my brother. It takes way more than that, because if you really want to do that, you really want to talk. You can talk to me, talk to God, and just lay it out and be still and let God answer you back through his word and ask for advice, right? In 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 10, it's a spiritual exercise. In order for you to run this race, you really do have to stretch and train, and you have to stay at it. And you got to remember, again, in 2 Timothy 4, 7 to 8, you're fighting not only the good fight, it's like the best fight you're ever going to fight, because really, you're not going to lose. The proverb says that though the righteous man may fall, he gets back up. God just continues to help us. And every time we mess up or fall down, we grow through it. It's a time of replenishment. You cannot fail as long as you stay with God. Now, this giant bag that I decided to carry, you need to get resources. I know you all carry your phones. I know you don't like to read extra books because you got school books. But I'm going to encourage you to check on, you know, get a Bible dictionary. If you don't have one, you should get one. You can have one. You should start developing your own library. You should kind of want to grow outside of what you think you already know.
Yeah.
All right, this is just a journal, but you should have one. You should have a journal that you write and talk to God. You should get resources like this one, How to Study the Bible. You don't have to finish a book. You can start a book, find what you need, and ask God to help you, and it's yours. You can just go back to it at another time. But you want to start stretching your mind. Okay, God is with us. There's many ways that it will start. God will put us on a path when you just try. Like, you're not going to read all the books. Who has read the Bible cover to cover here? Put your hands up. There's 1, 2, 3. Okay, so it's not the majority. All right, that's good that you did, but you haven't done it yet. So you got a lot of stuff that's going to happen in your life. If you live to be 90, you got time to like grow, right? If you're dying tomorrow, you want to live this day the best way that you can, because you don't know where you're going to go. You want to have resources that's going to help you. This one is called Back on Track, when people kind of drift. And Devo, when you get a book, sometimes it has the devotionals in them, and it'll help you. Give you a scripture, give you something to think about. If you get somebody, like Allison said, to pray with, then you can talk about, I'm reading this book, and if things will get challenging, don't give up. Some of you talked about fasting. Does anybody in here fast on a regular? All right, again, a small group of people. But that's because we don't always know. You're not going to know if you don't try to find out. You can read in the Bible and look up the word fasting, and it'll give you a scripture that says, and then they all fasted. But if you want to know how to fast, you may talk to somebody like Simone who fasts, or you may go buy a book and start getting your principles and asking God to help you, because that's the only way. You cannot subsist on just your own knowledge. You cannot subsist on just your own version on how you're going to be a disciple. Strong in the grace. All these books are encouraging books. I got like, and I'm not giving none of them away, and I don't loan them out.
Right.
But I have like a ton of them. And I got them because of things I was going through.
Right.
And things that I needed to grow in. And God has helped me. And then I'm pretty, I'm pretty happy to see what God has done in my life from the time I became a disciple until today. This Bible is a life application Bible. Has anybody seen these?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what it is when you read these Bibles, if you want to get one, they're pretty expensive. But on the bottom, you read your scripture, and on the bottom it has like footnotes, like commentary, to help you kind of break it down. So you break it down, and you read the daily, and you pray about it. And God just kind of guides you. It makes the quiet times, and it makes your understanding a whole lot better. So, I'm going to close. Oh, wait. So you got to get resources. You got to find in the Bible who has a favorite book in the Bible. Everybody's got a favorite book. So when you think about that favorite book, you know, talk about why it's your favorite book. And then find another favorite book, because there's like 66 of them. And you can have like 10 favorite books. If you have a favorite verse, then figure out why it's your favorite verse. And find another one, because you got many facets to your character. And find a disciple to build up. Find somebody that looks like, you know, I need to get to know them. Or ask God to allow you to participate in somebody else's work. Because we need one another. You cannot, and don't click up. Don't just stay with the people that you know. Don't just go and have them conversations you could have had Tuesday on the phone. Look around here and get spiritual on Wednesday, because after you hear whatever's talked about on Wednesday, you need to be kind of planting in each other and making sure you're building each other up.
Amen.
So now, I'm going to close with Philippians 1.
Come on.
I'm going to read it.
Come on, Carla.
I think it's dynamic. In Hebrews 6:11, it says, "We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope secure or sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, 'I will surely bless you and give you many descendants.' God does not lie. I know he's very faithful because of all the things he has done in my life and all the things I've seen him do in other people's lives and all the things I've seen him do in the Bible. He's faithful, and you will find out while you hang on and learn how to read and mature in your faith." Lastly, in Philippians 1, 6, chapter 1, verse 6, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Until it ends, God is working in you. It's a process. So like Allison said, you know, you persevere, you endure. But the hope, and what I find super encouraging, is that it's a process. No matter what is happening, as long as we stay faithful and we keep looking to God and using our resources, God knows what he's doing. We don't even always know. God knows what he's doing with us. And we just got to be open to growing and accepting it and watch and see how he's going to use you, because you're doing powerful things already. You're doing powerful things as I watch you grow. So